Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. It's day three of our week-long look back at the year in music, and today we'll have another visiting critic with a year-end list, and we'll have more of our favorite live performances from the Soundcheck studio in 2013. But we're also going to jump the gun in a major way and present a 2013 edition of our regular series, That Was a Hit. As you may know, that series normally waits for the dust of history to settle before we revisit a song that had no business being a hit, but became one anyway. Today, though, our panel is going to look at some of the improbable success stories on this year's charts, while they're still fresh in your ears. But to begin, time for me to unveil another excerpt from my top 10 list for 2013. That list is called "10 Reasons Why New York Music Ruled the World." Now, I realize some of you may not live in New York City and may think I'm being a jerk about this, but that's why I've come up with 10 reasons, and I'm revealing them two by two each day this week on Soundcheck, because I'm a reasonable man and I like to make only reasonable claims. Like number 6, even our baby bands kick ass. Okay, so maybe you haven't heard Blood Orange or Lucius, or Seasick Mama, or Juliana Barwick, or a host of others. That doesn't mean their music didn't rule, because it did. Blood Orange, for example, is the work of Dev Hynes, who used to record as Lightspeed Champion, and who produces music for Solange, Beyoncé's kid sister. His Blood Orange project is a really distinctive and modern take on R&B. Fall asleep right next to me. And as for Lucius, man, this Brooklyn band just made one of the great pop albums of the year. Recommended if you like Motown, 60s girl groups, or pretty much any kind of music. Don't just sit there, tell me what I wanna know, what I wanna know. That's the band Lucius with Don't Just Sit There. And in a while, I'll unveil another excerpt from my year-end list of the top 10 reasons why New York ruled the music world this year. But right now, as we continue our look back at the year in music, I'm joined by Karen Gams, editorial director of RollingStone.com, who's going to share a few of her favorites. And Karen, as I look at your list, I approve. Very New York-centric.
Well, thank you. It's very New York-centric and very woman-centric, actually.
Good. Was that intentional or did it just happen that
way? Just happened that way. A pleasant surprise.
Let's start with Lady Gaga and Art Pop. This puts you in a little bit of a minority. I mean, this album has not gotten a whole lot of critical love.
I will say, I did not love the album as a whole, but I do love this one R. Kelly track, Do What You Want, because I feel like it's sort of separates from the overly overwrought conceit of art pop, and it's just a good pop song. I feel like, you know, she was focusing so hard on laboring over the idea of art pop, and then out of nowhere comes this kind of actual club jam.
Right.
It's really fun to listen to. It's got a really kind of grimy, growly vibe to it. She's doing her best Christina Aguilera-esque vocals on this. And, I mean, it's actually fun because it's just not trying too hard.
Let's hear a little bit from Lady Gaga's album Art Pop and the song Do What You Want. Do what you want, what you want. What you want with my body? You can have my heart and you won't use my mind. Do what you want with my body. Do what you want with my body.
longer nights, time for private flights, crazy schedule, fast life. I wouldn't trade it in, cause it's our life. I could be the drink in your cup, I could be the green in your poop. You don't push a man, yeah, I got what you want. You wanna escape all of the crazy shit. You're the Maryland, I'm the president. I'd love to hear you say,
Lady Gaga featuring R. Kelly and Do What You Want from her album Art Pop, which is on Karen Gance's list of favorite things in music in 2013. R. Kelly still has a kind of whiff of the unsavory about him, doesn't he?
He does, and the unsavoriness has returned in the past week, actually. But, you know, it's a good performance on this track. I'll just let him have a good performance.
All right. Moving on, The Julie Ruin. This is an album that is on my list of reasons why New York ruled the music world. The Return of Kathleen Hanna.
Yes, and thank God, not a moment too soon.
So she'd been struggling with advanced Lyme disease. She told us she had, like, you know, shots directly into the heart. I mean, it just sounds really awful.
Yeah, she had paused her work with La Tigre around 2005 and kind of vanished, and nobody really knew what she was doing. And then she returned this year and revealed that she had been, yes, struggling with a really intense Lyme disease for years. Mm-hmm. And she was so desperate to record that she was able to put The Julie Ruin together. And during moments where she felt well enough, she would just jet to the studio and do these songs. And they have that kind of, they have like a real urgency to them.
Yeah, which is, you know, certainly something that people who know her earlier work with Bikini Kill and La Tigre, they'll associate her with that kind of sense of urgency. I mean, Kathleen was one of the sort of the pivotal figures in the Riot Girl movement of the 90s.
Absolutely, and it's fascinating to watch her kind of mature and become a singer in her 40s. Her voice still has this, like, really intense girlishness to it, femininity, but it also has this, this attacking power. I like to say she's my favorite rapper because she can say the same line 50 different ways in the same song. Like, on the first track on the album, Oh Come On, she says the words, Oh Come On, with so many different inflections, it could literally be, like, a dozen different songs.
That is Oh Come On from the album Run Fast by The Julie Ruin, a band led by Kathleen Hanna, formerly of Bikini Kill, an important figure on the Riot Girl movement, an important figure, Karen, for young women who aspire to be musical, to be stars, you know, their own songs, lead their own bands.
She's been a role model for, you know, almost 20 years. And, you know, I see young kids at the shows responding to this music, and it's really encouraging.
And there's that documentary out now about her.
Yes, The Punk Singer, which is, you know, they started filming it when she was sick, and she wasn't sure she wanted to reveal that she was sick, and it ended up becoming a part of the film. And I think it's really important for people to see that.
Yeah. And that gets us into the world of the visual. And some of the things on your list of favorites from the music world in 2013 are videos, including the Yeah Yeah Yeahs video for Despair, which listeners can see at soundcheck.org. What did you like about, first of all, did you like the record that this came from?
I love this record. The Yeah Yeahs put out Mosquito at their fourth record in April, and I kind of had this fear that it's going to get forgotten Your Endless, because it was a little bit quieter for them. But I thought it was a fantastic record. It really showed their evolution. I mean, just every record they do is a giant leap in another direction. And, you know, each one of the albums, though, kind of has that gut-punching track, you know, the one that you know is going to end up on everyone's mixtapes. And I feel like on this one, it was Despair. The thing I love about that song is that it shows that despair isn't an emotion that's just about depression or, like, you know, a black hole of nothingness. It can be sort of like a comfort, or in a way it can flip into a beam of hope at moments of, you know, of great need. Mm-hmm. And the video, they shot it on the top of the Empire State Building right as day was breaking. And it's the first video that was ever permitted to be shot at the top of the Empire State. And there's this final shot of Karen prancing around the top
Karen
of the building.
Karen O, the lead singer.
Karen yeah. O, yes, in this brilliant yellow suit made by her designer, Christian Joy. And a helicopter, it's a helicopter shot, and as it pulls away, you just see her as this dot joyfully prancing around the top of the Empire State Building. And at once, she's like the center of the universe and this microscopic speck. It's a very powerful image.
Check it out, soundcheck.org. But in the meantime, here's the song Despair from Yeah Yeah Yeahs. Yeah, the song is Despair, and the video for that song is on Karen Gans's list of favorite musical moments of 2013. Karen Gans is editorial director at RollingStone.com, and with me here on Soundcheck today as we continue our week-long look back at the best of the year in music. So, you know, one of the things we're doing this week, Karen, is we're asking guests and our listeners for that hidden gem, the record or artist or track that you hope doesn't get forgotten at the end of the year. Would you say the Yeah Yeah Yeahs record has been kind of one of those hidden gems?
Absolutely. I would go and shout it from the hilltops. Everybody needs to remember Mosquito.
That was released in April by Yeah Yeah Yeahs. Soundcheck listeners, if you have a hidden gem, something you don't want us to forget at the end of the year, you can call us at 866-939-1612 or leave a comment at soundcheck.org, where you can find the video for that Yeah Yeah Yeahs song. Okay, so up next is a band that's probably going to be new to most people listening. Tell us about Hunters.
Yeah, Hunters, they've actually been around just a couple of years, and they landed a 2012 Village Voice cover story, which was unusual because they were unsigned, or they were about to be signed at the moment. And it, they got the story basically on the strength of their live show, which is very famously unhinged. There was like a smashed champagne bottle and blood involved, and James Ehoff and the Smashing Pumpkins discovered them this way. But their record has finally come out. And there were a lot of 90s reminiscent albums this year, but this one is my favorite.
So, I mean, they have a kind of Pixies-ish quality, which is more 80s than 90s, I suppose.
True, yeah. They have kind of like a Nirvana, a little Sonic Youth-y, you could say Smashing Pumpkins, Vaseline's even.
So what? Where would these famous live performances be happening? Was this like, you know, the Bushwick scene, the big clubs in Williamsburg? Where would you find
exactly
these guys?
They are Brooklyn-based, and this is a Brooklyn experience, I think, primarily. But, you know, it's funny. The album, to me, I actually discovered the album without really knowing that much about the live show, and I think it stands up on its own. It has this sort of raw, fuzzy, shaggy energy to it. And it, I mean, it really does remind me of my favorite 90s albums. You know, I'm very shameless about that.
So the album is also called Hunters.
It is. It is self-titled.
And the band is led by, it's led by a duo. It's Isabel Almeida, who's the vocalist, and Derek Watson, who's the guitarist, who also sings.
He also does some singing, yes. And apparently they met at an arcade where they were working, doling out change to kids. So this might be the best band that was born in an arcade.
Here's a song called She's So from the band Hunters.
I
Hunters is the name of the band. Hunters is the name of the record. She's So is the name of the song. It's on Karen Gans's list of favorite musical moments of this year. And boy, there's, you know, we've seen a lot of that this year. These bands, new bands that kind of have that 90s sound to them. We had Speedy Ortiz here in the studio. I know you like them too, right?
Definitely a fan of them. Joanna Gruesome.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, all these bands who've clearly listened to Nirvana, I guess, are all kind of rejoicing this week now that Nirvana is being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, they got on the first shot, first year of eligibility.
What do you think of this year's class with Kiss, Nirvana, Cat Stevens, Peter Gabriel, who am I missing?
Linda Ronstadt.
Linda Ronstadt.
Paul and Oates.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's an interesting mix. The All-Star Jam at the end of the night is really going to be something.
So we're talking about Karen's favorite musical moments of 2013. And the most recent of them is the one that we will end with, Beyoncé, surprising everybody last Friday by dropping an album out of thin air, apparently.
Surprising everyone and ruining bloggers' lives, yes.
Now, I mean, unlike the Bowie record, where he'd been gone for 10 years and no one even knew he was working, Beyoncé, we all knew she was working on a new record. It had been talked about and then delayed. But still, it came out of nowhere, and it came with all these videos. So what for you is the high water mark here?
I like to pick out this Haunted video. And I think it's very interesting because it was directed by Jonas Åkerlund. And he first worked with Lady Gaga and Beyoncé together on the Telephone video in 2010, which I thought was a very interesting video. And to me, that video was a turning point, not for Lady Gaga, but for Beyoncé. Beyoncé always had this reputation of being fairly demure. You know, she was sexy, but she wasn't wild. And in the Telephone video, she was just absolutely unhinged. She was just like a total freak. And I really felt like that flipped a switch for her, and she just felt this license that she could kind of be the crazy, weird, arty performer that Lady Gaga actually wants to be. Mm-hmm. I feel like Beyoncé actually nails it. So I feel like she owned Lady Gaga this year.
Now, I have to say, you know, when I first heard Haunted, I thought, okay, nice song. It's kind of an interesting sound. But watching this video, man, this thing is creepy.
It is extremely creepy. You know, when you listen to the song, you think it's about, you know, a relationship, lovers that still haunt each other's lives. And you watch the video, and it has this kind of Sleep No More vibe, where Beyoncé is wandering in this kind of mansion or hotel, and there's just weird stuff happening in every room.
Yeah.
But it's beautifully directed, and nothing seems like it's designed just to freak you out. Everything seems like it has a specific artistic point.
Although, you know, Karen, as I look over your list, I mean, there's a fair amount of disturbing and unsettling things in your
favorite musical. I don't know what that says about me, yes.
You know, the a cappella solo at the beginning of the Despair video by Yeah Yeah Yeahs, yeah. The Gaga R. Kelly lyrics and stuff, this video.
It was an emotionally heavy year.
Yeah. All right, well, but a good year, apparently.
Absolutely excellent year. I love all this music.
All right, we'll hear a bit of Haunted from Beyoncé's new record called Beyoncé, her December surprise. Karen Gans is editorial director at RollingStone.com. Karen, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
It's what you do. It's what you see. I know if I'm haunting you, you must be haunting me. It's where we go, it's where we'll be. I know if I'm onto you, I'm onto you, onto you, you must be onto me.
Up next, a special edition of our series about surprising pop chart success.
That was a hit!
Two of our regular contributors join us to look at the improbable hits of this year. That's next on Soundcheck.
And now, Soundcheck looks back at the pop charts of yesteryear and asks...
That was a hit!
Everybody was kung fu fighting!
They're coming to take me away, haha!
Today, we bring you a special 2013 edition of That Was a Hit. Joining me here in the studio is Mario Correa of Entertainment Weekly. Mario, welcome back.
Hi.
And Chris Malanfi, pop chart writer for NPR Music, Slate, and Pitchfork. Chris, good to have you back as well.
Great to be here, John.
So normally, as you guys know, because you've both done this series before, we wait 15, 20 years to see what the unlikely chart hits are. And by that time, we know what has not stood the test of time. But there are songs this year that you guys are already itching to talk about. Mario, let me start with you. Now, YouTube is the big new player post-Gangnam Style.
Absolutely.
And that's where you went looking.
Totally. I mean, this was the year that Billboard finally decided that YouTube views would count towards the Hot 100. And so we saw some big breakthroughs there. And the one that really, I picked sort of the low-hanging fruit, John, because this song really, I mean, it's already, that was a hit, and we're still in the year. And that's The Fox. And people know the song as What Does the Fox Say? But it's actually called The Fox.
Full title is The Fox, subtitled What Does the Fox Say?
Yeah, I love it when it involves subtitles. It's already good when it involves a subtitle.
Seriously. Yeah. That's what hit candidate right off the bat.
Now, this is Ylvis.
Ylvis. That's right. So they're two brothers. They're Norwegian, and they're comedians, actually. They're not technically musicians. And the way that this song started was really as a joke. These guys essentially had the third season of their show coming up in Norway, and they thought, hey, wouldn't it be funny if we did this bit, this shtick, where we try to become pop stars in America, and we hook up with the most fantastic producers, Stargate, who are Norwegians who produce Rihanna and Beyonce and Neo and all those folks, and try to become pop stars, but we're such idiots that we create this terrible song and we can't become pop stars because all we can sing about is The Fox. But it didn't quite work out that way.
Does anybody know how many views they're up to now?
I just checked this morning, 277 million.
Oh my
and that's
God.
Like 5 million more than last week. I mean, it's still going strong.
I mean, if it's anything like Gangnam Style, which was piling on views by the tens of millions weekly at its peak, this thing could break 500 million easily.
This is Ylvis from Norway, and yes, that was / is a hit.
Dog goes woof, cat goes meow, bird goes tweet, and mouse goes squeak. Cow goes moo, frog goes croak, and the elephant goes toot. Duck say quack, and fish go blub, and the seal goes ow, ow, ow. But there's one sound that no one knows. What does the fox say?
The end of Western civilization, or just another YouTube phenomenon? Who knows? But it was a hit.
I dare you to not dance to that.
It is a very funny video. I have to say, Ylvis has a bunch of videos out there. Yep. There's one called Stonehenge.
Oh, that's a great one.
That one's a funny one.
Really, really good. But this is the one everybody watched. In fact, YouTube has proclaimed it the most watched video of 2013.
Yeah.
And Chris, now that YouTube videos are, part of
baked
the pop
into the Hot 100,
chart.
Right.
Yeah, so that's what catapulted this song to becoming an actual hit on the charts.
Largely, yes. There are three legs to the Hot 100 stool, right? There's streaming, which is YouTube is a baked into that. There's sales, so you can still just buy the song on iTunes. And there's radio. And the reason I bring that up is that it did quite well as a sold song. It did okay at iTunes. It did phenomenally, as Mario has pointed out, at YouTube. Radio hardly played it at all.
Yeah.
And that, by the way, is the difference between this and Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style, because the YouTube rule hadn't kicked in on the charts a year ago, Gangnam Style rose on the charts with one hand tied behind its back. It was all sales and airplay. And there were radio stations that played Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style peaked on Billboard's all radio chart at number 12, which is remarkable for a song that's 95% in Korean.
Yeah.
it peaked at number 2 on the Hot 100 when combined with those sales. Whereas The Fox had no airplay at all, but it made it to number 6 on the Hot 100, largely thanks to those YouTube views.
Or perhaps people just interested in the various sounds the different animals make.
Well, you know, I think that is really a key to success, believe it or not, because I hadn't heard of the song when it first came out until a friend of mine with kids emailed me about
it. Exactly.
And then I was at a party. The kid factor. And I was at a party this weekend saying, all right, folks, tell me, what is the secret to the fox? And these kids were there, and they started screaming it the second I said it. So really, kids do love it. The video with Elvis in costumes. And by the way, the costumes are not foxes. They try to dress as foxes, but couldn't find fox costumes, so they dress as a squirrel and a bear in the video. But you get the point. And essentially, kids love it. They introduce their parents to it. Their parents kind of get into it because of this, you know, the synth vibe, the dance beat, the whole thing, and it kind of just catches on.
To the extent that it's even been performed on Glee.
What does the fox say? The secret of the fox, ancient mystery.
That is the cast of the hit TV series Glee doing their version of The Fox, What Does the Fox Say, from the Norwegian comedy duo known as Ylvis. And this is a special 2013 edition of our series That Was a Hit, which looks at surprising and improbable chart success. Normally, we're looking back a number of years, but we just couldn't wait for some of these songs that we've heard in the past year. So Mario Correa, contributor to Entertainment Weekly on SiriusXM, trolling YouTube for Ylvis's The Fox. Chris Melanfi, critic and pop chart analyst for NPR Music, Slate, and Pitchfork. You too have a pick for us. But before we get to that, you did a little YouTube trolling yourself.
I did. I mean, obviously, the other big song to talk about when you're going to talk about how YouTube affected the charts in 2013 would be Harlem Shake by Bauer. It's almost ridiculous for me to even bring up the artist's name of Bauer, because the reason this song was a hit had almost nothing to do with the trap music DJ who put it together. It was a phenomenon. It was actually the first number one hit on the Hot 100 the week they instituted the YouTube rule back in February, and it debuted at number one. The debut being interesting because that means that basically it wasn't getting any radio airplay prior to YouTube being baked into the Hot 100, and then it shot to number one immediately. At its peak, versions of the song appeared in YouTube videos that were watched some 100 million times in a single week. And that's why it went to number one. But the overwhelming majority of those videos were not Bauer's official video. They were all of the memes that we remember from last winter with people doing a little bop to the dance. So there was a comedy bit where, you know, you'd have all your friends in the room and everybody would be wiggling around ridiculously.
Work productivity must have plummeted precipitously last winter, because it seemed like every office had done its own kind of parody video.
It's almost like it wasn't a song as much as a vessel. You know, it was like a chance for me to put myself out there in this video so you can see me. And the actual song was sort of immaterial. You know, it could have been
anything.
Is there
a Mario Correa video?
Not yet. But maybe you and I can do one together, John.
You want to talk hypothetical? That is very hypothetical. Let's hear the real song, Harlem Shake from Bauer.
Con los terroristas.
All right, a little bit of Harlem Shake, which was all over YouTube and became a kind of viral meme across our culture earlier this year. That was a hit of sorts, but Chris, give me your "That Was a Hit" weirdo song for 2013.
I'm not sure I can call this a weirdo song, because it was a legitimate hit, but it then exploded into this larger-than-life hit. I want to talk about a bro country hit called "Cruise" by Florida Georgia Line. This song had the unusual distinction of crossing over from the country charts to the top five of the Hot 100. And this is what makes it a good "That Was a Hit" candidate. It did so through a very unusual means, which was a hip-hop remix featuring the rapper Nelly. Now, to be fair, Nelly has gone down this route before. He had a hit about 10 years ago with Tim McGraw called Over and Over, which was a country hip-hop hybrid and much more organic. It was conceived that way, and it was also a top 10 hit back then. I actually thought that was a pretty terrific song. Cruise is another animal entirely, an actual country hit that they then kind of grafted a Nelly rap onto and remixed.
Right in the middle of it, yeah.
Really, pretty much. Like it gets airlifted into the middle of the song. And the airplay that resulted from that, which, you know, crossed it over to a lot of top 40 radio stations, led the song to have a surprisingly long life on the Hot 100, as well as a long life on the country chart. It actually set a record on the country chart, largely because of the Nelly remix, which is another matter entirely.
Let's hear a little bit. Florida Georgia Line and their unlikely hit called Cruise.
Hey, country girl, this country boy, like everything about you. Don't change a thing, no way. You stay the same, I got you. I like soul that, all that. Head to toe, you all that. Tell old boy he call back. Send a text, they fall back. Shorty, let me show you what the fast like. Whipping across the border, Florida into Georgia. Cause baby, you a song and you make me wanna roll my, roll my, roll my. Oh, baby, you a song.
Now, a more intemperate host might at this point grit his teeth and say, God, I hated that song to begin with, and I hate it even more now. I, however, am a reasonable man and will simply ask you guys, are we likely to be listening to Cruise in either way, shape, or form a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now?
Maybe. On country radio, I think it's entirely possible that the original Florida Georgia Line record will have legs. I would put the original record in the same category as either novelty or kind of goofy hits of the past on country radio. I'm thinking of Convoy from the 70s.
Oh, my God.
Ain't Nothing Wrong with the Radio by Aaron Tippin in the 90s. Right, or Honky Tonk Badonkadonk in the zeros. You know what I mean? These songs were all really cheesy, but they have legs. They do live on, right? Whether the Nelly remix will live on, particularly at Top 40 Radio, I find that to be that was a hit candidate for the future.
Well, I think of the song kind of like as the accidental racist song.
Well put.
You know, I'm glad you brought that song. But go ahead, finish your thought.
And then, because if you see the video for the original Florida Georgia Line song, it is the whitest thing you have ever seen. There's literally not a non-white person in the video.
Right.
Then you see the video for the Nelly version, which all of a sudden is totally street, you know, and half the backup dancers. Yeah, exactly. Looks sort of like Aaliyah or something. And the Florida Georgia Line guys are, you know, all of a sudden just to the side, almost like backup singers to Nelly in the middle of this whole thing. So, yeah, I feel like that one may be less likely to stay with us. But maybe not. Who knows?
Mario, you brought up Accidental Racist.
Yeah.
Brad Paisley's song, which was another kind of unexpected collision of you know, hip-hop and country.
At a Starbucks, no less. My favorite thing with that song is that, you know, he mentions, Brad Paisley mentions going to a Starbucks and looking at his barista and I guess the chains on the barista's neck or something. And like, that becomes the focal point for this moment of interracial understanding. So now I go to a Starbucks and I have a whole different experience each time I head in there. Yeah.
Thanks to Brad Paisley and LL Cool J.
I try to put myself in your shoes. And that's a good place to begin. It ain't like I can walk a mile in someone else's skin. Cause I'm a white man living in the Southland.
But that doesn't really qualify because that wasn't really a hit.
It really wasn't. Yeah.
It was just a song that people like to talk about.
It was a meme more than a hit, honestly.
Yeah. It was in the country charts, right? In the 20s or something.
But something like that,
Nothing too substantial on pop. But it did make a sort of an impression on pop culture. At least made an impression on me and on Starbucks, I bet.
Yeah. All right. So normally, as I said earlier, we wait a number of years before inducting a song into our series, That Was a Hit. But Mario and Chris just couldn't wait to induct Ilvis's The Fox and Florida Georgia Line's Nelly remix of Cruise into our ongoing series about improbable chart success. Was there something that should have been a hit this year that wasn't?
I would say, because we've done the that wasn't a hit thing a couple of times, I would definitely want to throw in a couple of candidates. One that leaps to mind is Closer by Tegan and Sarah. I know you guys have had them on the show, and they released a terrific album this year that was them pretty unabashedly going for a pop sound.
They were clear as daylight about that. This was the point, and they were going to reach a wider audience. Did they not?
They kind of didn't. I mean, it depends on how you look at the glasses, half full or half empty. I mean, they made the Hot 100 with Closer, but it peaked at number 90, which blows my mind because it's such a catchy song. It's so smart. It really would fit in on any number of top 40 stations. It's a terrific record all the way around, and I was kind of bummed that they didn't get a bigger hit with that one.
All right, Tegan and Sarah's Closer maybe should have been a hit in 2013, but wasn't. We've been speaking with Mario Correa and Chris Malanfi, both of whom join us regularly on Soundcheck for our That Was a Hit editions. And guys, thank you for being here, and we'll see you in the new year.
Thanks, John.
We look forward to it.
That is the song Closer by Tegan and Sarah. Not quite the hit that Chris had hoped for, but, you know, still a nice song, and we're glad to play it for you on Soundcheck today. If that's one of his hidden gems, Tegan and Sarah's live set here in our studio is one of our favorite live moments that we're also remembering this week on Soundcheck as we look back at the best of 2013. So in a couple of minutes, you'll have a chance to hear Tegan and Sarah recorded live here on Soundcheck. But right now,
everybody wants to
time for another in my top 10 reasons why New York music ruled the world in 2013. Reason number 5, Zorn at 60. John Zorn is the ultimate outsider musician, and since the late 70s, if you followed New York's famous downtown scene, you'd find that all roads led back to him. Free jazz, noise rock, string quartets, movie scores, Zorn has done it all. He turned 60 this year, and the music world took note. There were John Zorn events at Lincoln Center, the Metropolitan Museum, the Guggenheim Museum, and places as far away as Japan and Poland, and involving everyone from Lou Reed to Pat Metheny. Pat Metheny from an album of John Zorn's music released this year as part of a mammoth celebration called Zorn at 60. Tomorrow, two more reasons why New York music ruled the world in 2013. But coming up in the more immediate future, some more of our favorite live performances of this year. This is Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We're looking this week at the best music performances here in our Soundcheck studio from 2013, part of our week-long retrospective on the year in music. A couple of minutes ago, Chris Malanfi was saying that he was hoping the Tegan and Sarah record wouldn't be overlooked in all of the end-of-the-year top 10 lists. Well, as it turns out, we were quite fond of Tegan and Sarah's record Heartthrob. We had the identical twin sisters who lead the band performing here in our studio earlier this year. The album did pretty well. It premiered at number 3 on the Billboard Top 200, and they recently made the shortlist for Canada's prestigious Polaris Music Prize, so certainly someone is listening. Here is Tegan and Sarah with a live performance of their song I Was a Fool.
Thank you. I search you out. How I come your city's walls. Do you remember me as the vow? How I pray for your cause. I stood still.
Identical twin sisters Tegan and Sarah Quinn. They lead the band Tegan and Sarah, and that song's called I Was a Fool. They played that for us live here in the Soundcheck studio earlier this year, one of our favorite live performances from 2013. And that's what we're doing this week as we look back at the best of the year in music. And a little bit of the worst of the year in music on Friday's show coming up. But right now we're listening back to some of our favorite live music performances from the Soundcheck studio. I have to say, I was not here for this next one. Carla Bruni joined us back in August, and Studio 360 host Kurt Anderson sat in for me when the singer, songwriter, model, and former First Lady of France joined us here in the studio. Carla Bruni released her debut album 10 years ago. It was a chart topper in Europe and South America, and she released her fourth album called Little French Songs earlier this year, and she did a bilingual live set here in the Soundcheck studio. This song is called Chez Keith et Anita. It's about Keith Richards and Anita Pallenberg.
Dans les bagnoles, au Batignol, à Istanbul, avenue du Roule, sur un atoll, ou dans la foule, on est là où l'on peut. À Notre-Dame, au bord du drame, à Macao, à Birmingham, dans un bistrot, ou sous un tram, on est là où l'on peut. Moi je ne suis pas là, non, je suis chez Keith et Anita, c'est le petit matin. Mais on n'est pas couché, ma foi. Quelqu'un se roule un joint. Oh non, merci, je ne fume pas. Quelqu'un joue du Chopin. On est chez Keith et Anita. Quelqu'un joue du Chopin. On connais chez qui fait Anita. Dans une poubelle, née au ciel, dans un hôtel, au Sofitel, à Singapour, à Bruxelles, dans un tunnel, mis sous tutelle, au petit jour, au grand carrefour, on est là où l'on peut. Au fond du trou, à l'aube blême, au rendez-vous, à la traîne, à Malibu, à Valenciennes, à Katmandou, à Saint-Étienne, dans les verrous, ou à la Madeleine, on est là où l'on peut. Mais moi, je ne suis pas là, non, 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 je suis chez qui fait Anita. C'est la fin de l'été, mais il fait encore doux, ma foi. Quelqu'un boit du rosé, et quelqu'un joue de l'harmonica, qui fait bon d'exister. Ici chez qui fait Anita, qui fait bon d'exister. Ici chez qui fait Anita. Politique en place publique à l'aventure, dans l'Antarctique à l'âge tendre, canonique au bord du Gange, à Dubrovnik sous les louanges, couvert de fange, on est là où l'on peut. Au fond du trou, à l'aube blême, au rendez-vous, à la traîne, à Malibu, à Valenciennes, à Katmandou, à Saint-Étienne sous les verrous, ou à la Madeleine, on est là où l'on peut. Moi je ne suis pas là, non, 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 je suis chez qui fait Anita. Ici tout est tranquille, il n'y a pas l'ombre d'un fracas, Marianne sans la vanille, toute de velours et de soie, comme la vie scintille. Ici chez qui fait Anita, comme la vie scintille. Ici chez qui fait Anita. C'était l'été 70, je ne savais rien de tout ça, et pourtant je vivais chez Kiff, chez Kiff et Anita. C'était l'été 70, je ne savais rien de tout ça, et pourtant je vivais chez Kiff, chez Kiff et Anita.
That is called Chez Keith et Anita, a song about Rolling Stone guitarist Keith Richards and his former girlfriend, the model Anita Pallenberg, sung by another former model, Carla Bruni, the singer, songwriter, now Carla Bruni Sarkozy, because she is, of course, married to the former president of France and was first lady of that country for a number of years, and a live performance recorded on Soundcheck earlier this year during the summer. Kurt Anderson was the guest host that day, so my first chance to hear that set. Very nice. We're listening back to some of our favorite live music performances on Soundcheck this year, and for this next one, we're going all the way back. This was one of the first live performances we had in 2013. Early January, the Dirty Projectors joined us. Dirty Projectors is a band led by singer, songwriter, and occasional classical composer David Longstreth. He joined us with an acoustic, unplugged version of Dirty Projectors, and among the songs they did for us was this one called Impregnable Question.
If there is ever the impregnable question of why, what did or didn't pass, it would help to say comfort in destiny. But I really don't, we don't see eye to eye. You care if I take or I don't. I will always hold what we shared so long to be the only love, though we don't see eye to eye. Mind.
station. We both look forward side by side. We have shared it all. We are both stood tall. What is mine is yours in happiness and in strife. You're my love, and I want you in my life. You're my love, and I want you in my life. You're my love, and I want you in my life.
From the band Dirty Projectors, that's a song called Impregnable Question. Played live here in our studio, an unplugged version of Dirty Projectors, early in 2013, the band led by singer, songwriter, and guitarist David Longstreth. The video cameras were out and rolling while they were playing that song. You can find the video at soundcheck.org. All this week, we're looking back at the best of 2013 in music, including some of the best live performances here in the Soundcheck studio. This next one is a bit of an outlier from John Hopkins, the English keyboard player, electronic music producer, an associate of Brian Eno, the famous producer and composer. John Hopkins is known for creating electronic music, as he did on his new album Immunity. But when he came here into the studio, he didn't just bring all of his gear and ramp up the electronics. He also took time out to play a single piece on our Steinway piano. This is called Abandon Window. Thank you. That's called Abandon Window, a solo acoustic performance on our piano by the English electronic musician John Hopkins. His album Immunity was a really great one that he released earlier this year. And another of our favorite live performances from the Soundcheck Studios this year. Tomorrow on the show, our Year in Music series continues with more of our favorite in-studio performances, and we're getting up towards the top of my 10 Reasons Why New York Music Ruled the World in 2013. Also tomorrow, the hidden gems of this year. Musicians and critics join us with their picks for the, you should pardon the expression, unsung artists and albums of the past year. And what's your hidden gem of 2013? Call us at 866-939-1612 or post a comment at soundcheck.org. That number again, 866-939-1612. Also tomorrow, the Brooklyn band Fort Lean is featured in the latest installment of our music video series called Barn Burners. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.